Halfway Studios in Johnston proper. You are live from the path.
I am a working man, I get things done. Work for the Holy Ghost, work for the Son. I am a working man, oh yes I am. I am a special agent of the Lamb.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. It's possibly very lovely to be with you tonight, although I suppose it really depends on what's going on. Maybe you've recently run out of candy in your house and you're angry and I wouldn't want to be around you.
Why do you always say, and you're listening to Live from the Path?
I like to feel like we were having a friendly conversation to start.
Oh, gotcha.
Do you think?
Yeah,
is it not working?
I don't know why I just noticed it today.
It's continuing the conversation.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah. Now that we got over that M&M thing, now and you're listening to Live from the Path. All right. Hey. Okay, we got a really cool show prepared for you today. And I need you to remember that I always tell you the truth. So sometimes when the show starts, I say, it's going to be a real dumpster fire. As a matter of fact, if you look back at the show notes and titles, there is one called Dumpster Fire. And so when the show's going to be bad, I'll generally tell you the show's going to be bad and it's okay to skip it. Tonight, however, I actually think it's going to be pretty top notch. Okay, and so here's what we got going on the show tonight. First, we have a couple special guests in the room. First is my friend Vanek from Cambodia, and we're going to learn. He's got a cool story, and he's going to share with you the things that God's got him involved in Cambodia. And we were just talking on the way over here, and I think just all kinds of cool stuff. And so, hi, Vanek.
Hi.
Okay,
man.
There you go. See, he's ready to go.
Yeah, very great to be here. So my name is Vanek and I come from Cambodia.
Awesome.
So I just been here in the state for 2 weeks and very excited to be here. So I hope every listener will feel okay with my pronunciation or my actions.
Yeah,
it's going to be good.
Awesome. Yeah.
I think you're going to do fantastic. And frankly, we talk real fast around here. You might be the most legible dude.
Yeah.
And so, okay. So we're going to talk to Vanek and learn more about him in just a second. And also, Cody Enter the McCormick is here in studio again. It's good to see you, Cody.
Yeah, good to see you too. However, I do have a question, Michael. When I talked to you, I didn't get the dress code, so I felt a little underdressed.
Whoa.
So I figured I'd put a little tie on here for you.
Yeah, see, that's a class act right there.
Man.
I figured since never got to do a show with Donald, that we bring a little bit with him.
Yeah, so. I think that's totally fair.
Hey, man, here's what I'm going to tell you right now, is these two fellas are classing up the joint.
Yeah.
Mike has his boot on the counter.
Yeah. I turned the camera so I wasn't also in your camera, just to add to the classiness.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right. And Dan looks like he just drove by a 24/7 fitness. But went, nah.
I didn't,
Not today.
No.
Okay, I tell you what. There is nothing that weighs on me heavier than when I buy a gym membership. Because it is the least likely thing I'm going to do. I always think, I should do this, this is good. And then, the first week, I think, I'm going to go 3-4 times this week. I'm like, yes, I nail it.
Yeah.
And then week number 2 shows up, and every opportunity I would have to go is eaten up by something completely not gym related.
Yeah.
And so, and then it's 2 weeks will go by and I haven't gone on at all. And I thought, it's not even about wasting the money. It just feels like I made a promise that I will never, ever, ever keep.
Yeah.
And then I have to look at my own belly as I drive and my winded air as I go up a staircase. And I think, you could have gone to the gym, Mike, but you didn't.
The question is, for years, that I have not used in years, and I still every night think, yeah, tomorrow's it.
Yeah. Tomorrow's the day.
Fortunately, it's only $10.95 a month, so I don't feel like I'm,
At work, we refer to that as our fat tax.
Yeah. Oh.
So.
And every time I think, well, I'll just cancel it. Well, that's admitting defeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do that.
Because you got to go in there to cancel it.
This
you can't
is
do
the
it
second downside is the membership that I got. was to, like, the local high school has a weight room.
Yeah.
And so we have a membership there. And, like, it's nothing but teenage boys with the guns out, always using the machine for old people, right? They can use the free weights. I can't. I'm a tension man. Yeah. I use the resistance things or whatever, the things on cables. This is me.
Yeah.
And, like, there's always some guy, and he always purposely sets it to, like, the highest possible weight setting and then stands there and watches me move it back down. I'm like, go away.
Okay, a guy that I think maybe doesn't have this problem. Vinek. Okay, so let's start with folks who don't know anything about you. Maybe just give a little bit of your background. So we already covered your Vinek from Cambodia, but like maybe let's start with how you met Jesus, because I think that starts to inform how people understand all the things that happened in your life kind of after that point. So maybe let's maybe a little bit about your childhood and how you met Jesus.
A little bit about my childhood. Actually, I was born in a Buddhist family, and before getting married to my mom, my father was a monk for 9 years. Mm. And my mother also very active in a Buddhist temple. Mm-hmm. We call pagoda.
Mm-hmm.
But I always have a bad experience but with my dad, you know, because he drank very often. Every time he go out for ceremony or like a party or wedding, he always come home and drunk, and he always do bad thing against me, and a kind of a domestic violence. And sometimes I remember one day he come home and, you know, scare me a lot when he asked for my mom and my two sister. He asked, where's your mom, where's your sister? I say, I don't know. Then he used a very long knife that we used to cut banana tree to make a food for pig. Mm. And then he scare me to like chop over my head like this, you know, to scare me. It was a very bad experience. And when we moved to live in the capital city sometime, he also like, when he come home at night, he carry a big jar of water just to chase me behind. And all these bad things, you know, I always promise myself that I will not live with my father when I grow up or when I have a job to do. Because in Cambodia, we normally live as extended family.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my children take care of their old parents, something like that.
Yeah. Mm.
Did he have to stop being a monk to have a family? I guess I don't know how it works.
Actually, I said, you know, he was a monk for 9 years before he get married.
Okay.
So you must be, you know, stop being a monk
to do
so that.
You
can get married.
Is that common? That people?
Yeah, common.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Do as a, this is going to show what I don't know about Buddhism, is that do you have to go to a service, or like do you do things to participate in your community as a Buddhist?
Is there like a church service?
Yeah.
No, normally those who are Buddhist always go to pagoda. They have like a holy day, like a holiness, like holy day. And then normally like old people or young people, they always go and offer the food to the monk so that the monk can dedicate the food to their ancestor.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and a lot more practice.
And did you, were you participating in those types of things as you were growing up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my family is a Buddhist family, so we have to, practice this. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you moved to the capital city, and was this at you specifically, or is he kind of like this with your whole family?
With the whole family, not just me, you know.
He's terrible when he's drinking. Yeah. He's just difficult.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, like my elder sister and my older sister, in some time, you know, they just run away from home whenever they know that my dad is drunk.
Yeah.
And then and for me, you know, like at that time, you know, I was fine, and even when I a bit older, I also stay at home most of the time. And when I was studying, sometimes he like scold or do bad thing against me.
Yeah.
So to cut it short, how I get to know Christ.
Yeah.
I get to know Christ when I was 15 years old. Mm-hmm. One day when I was playing football, it is here in the state, it says soccer.
Yeah.
When I play soccer at my high school, one of the youth leader come to me and call me, "Brother, do you want to play football with my team?" You know, the word that he used, "brothers," is really captures my heart at that time.
Yeah.
Because the way that he speak to me is very polite.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then I immediately respond to him, "Yes, I play football with your team." Yeah, and then later on, he invite me to go to church.
Yeah.
Yeah, at that time, I remember that we about to prepare the Christmas celebration, and then I joined a youth group in order to, you know, like perform in a skit for like Christmas celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then this is how I get to know Christ.
Yeah.
But when I get to know Christ, I see that thing change in my life. I love my father.
Mm.
Why I love my father? Because the Lord, my God, loved me. He loved me so much. And he commanded me to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.
Yeah.
And love your neighbor as yourself. Mm. And who is your closest neighbor? It's my parents.
Yeah.
It's my family.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, he changed me from the inside out. I declare myself that for sure he is the one true God that saves my life. I love my father no condition. It doesn't matter he is drunkard.
Yeah.
But you know, when I accepted Christ, when my parents know about this, they stop me from going to church. They say, "No, you cannot accept Christ. Jesus is a foreigner God." You know, they say that, "Oh, Jesus is God from another country."
Yeah.
They say, "Oh, believe in Jesus, you are not allowed to honor your parent." Or believe in Jesus, you are not allowed to like cry or sad whenever your relative pass away, and then you only sing a song, something like that, you know, like misunderstanding about Christ because... Yeah,
it's such an interesting perception, though. Is that like the belief about Christians is that they don't mourn death, which is kind of true. But it's just such an interesting thing to stick out. Is that like that you would go? They don't even allow you to properly mourn that someone has passed away.
Yeah,
it stood out to me that's what that's what your mom would think. I mean, it's kind of true.
you know? Because you know, people from look from outside.
Yeah.
They do not understand or can be, you know, misunderstand about Christian faith.
Yes.
Yeah.
Huh. But yeah, we don't grieve like the rest of those who have no hope. So,
Right.
Someone would hear that and go, "What do you mean?
Yeah.
I want you to grieve for me."
Yeah. And is there is there something when you talk about mourning your parents, like from a Buddhist perspective, are there particular things that generally happen when someone passes away that she is worried that you couldn't participate in because of that? Or
no.
Okay.
You know, normally, we participate in it. It doesn't matter whether, you know, you are Buddhist or Christian.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
But normally when people do not understand, they just, you know, like, bring up the thing that
the really, weird thing
that's weird, weird. Thing, for sure.
Okay.
So in that religion, do they, is there like you mentioned you go to the temple and stuff, is there moral teaching each week, or is it just you go and do like sacrifices and stuff and offerings, or is there like teaching with the monks? Or
no, normally people always go to the pagoda in order to offer something. Like you can offer food or can be money to the monk.
Yeah. And I've been at those in Taiwan before. I've been there, but I haven't, like, I didn't know if there's like teaching that goes on in.
There's also teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not just about teaching. It's about practice. In Buddhist traditional belief that we need to bow our head, you know, like worship the a kind of a status, you know, Buddha status or the monk, and then ask the monk to, because normally, you know, lay people do not dedicate themselves about the food or money or whatever, but they go to the pagoda in order to ask the monk to do this for.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they invite the monk to their home in order to do any ceremony for them. It depends on what kind of ceremony do you want.
Yeah.
Even though during your wedding or like a funeral or a kind of a blessings ceremony also, you know, can you can invite monk to your house in order to say a blessing.
Yeah.
So your families then teach you that, you hand it down to the next generation so you know to go to the monk. I mean,
means that it is just like a practice that we, like everyone in the family or everyone in the community, we follow one another. Okay, yeah. I see this practice. And then I, when I grow up, I also practice the same way.
Yeah.
So okay. to your mom and dad, like, when you accepted Christ, that's just like, we don't like it, or no, very bad?
Because they do not know about Christ, so they, you know, obviously reject.
Yeah.
And especially my dad said, you are the only one son in the family. I expected you to be a monk when you finish high school.
Yeah.
Something like that. Because normally for a son in a family, they at least want their son to be a monk for 3 months, or can be for 6 months, or can be a year, and if you like it, maybe you can be a monk for many years.
So does that mean all boys are monks for a little bit?
Yes.
Okay.
It must be.
Okay.
And also, most of the family, when their parent pass away, they be a monk for can be 3 days or 7 days. Yeah, I mean that it is an act of repay. You know, like the gratitude.
To their
parents.
I understand. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. So you, you're 15. You meet Jesus. You're introduced to Jesus through the coach. Were you pretty good at soccer?
Not really good, but I really love soccer. Fun. Yeah, I play all the time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then your parents find out, and you said that they stopped you from going to church. They said you can't go. Did they also mean that you couldn't play football anymore too?
No. They do not say about that. They just only, you know, stop me from going to church.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but you know, I still go to church. And but when I was worshiping the Lord, and a lot of time, you know, I turn back and I afraid that my parents chase me behind. Later on
you're disobeying them and going.
And later on they stopped me again. So I stopped going to church for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but later on, my dad know a youth leader, and he sit down and talk with the youth leader, and then youth leader talk about football.
Yeah.
And then he said, "Oh, I have a son who really love, you know, football." And then that youth leader said, "Okay, can you send me his photo so that I can fill in an application form to add him into my football team." And then he said, okay. Then he come home and bring my, you know, small photo, and then give to that youth leader. Yeah. So that youth leader invite me to go to church and then, and play football with his team. Yeah, then, so this is where I start, like, believing God. Until now, for sure.
Yeah,
but I want to tell you that things change from the inside out. I love my father.
Yeah.
I honor my parents, for sure. Yeah. Do you know what happens next when my mom sees things change like this? She no longer misunderstand about Christ. Sometimes she go to market, and then people say the same thing that she said to me. He said, "Oh, you don't believe in Jesus. You are not allowed to honor, or you are not honor your parents," something like that. And then she jump in. She said, "No, God, my son believe does not do like that. My son really honor me and my husband." You see. And then some people and sometimes she go back to church to the market, and then people say, "You know, you believe in Christ, you got a lot of like support and benefit, like,
yeah,
because, you know, Christian, we love people and we share love to the needy, yeah, and we support for sure. So they see like that, maybe, you know, they said, oh, make you,
well, maybe she's getting money or food,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah. and then my mom chime in. My mom say, no, my son always support the church.
Yeah,
he go to church, he support the church, and he sacrifice his time for the church.
Yeah.
Yeah, and later on, you know, she know all my schedule, like, okay, Tuesday morning I go for prayer morning, and Thursday evening I go for cell group meeting, and then Saturday I go for youth fellowship, and Sunday for church service. So she know all my schedule,
yeah,
and she encourage me. Sometime I wake up late, she said, oh, son, get up and go to church. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Praise God. Yeah.
Because you, like, that whole story about how you grew up, like, that had to make you kind of angry, right? Like, yeah, just the whole thing, and then God just comes in and, like, changes that completely. And it's not like you were asking God to do it. Like, God, you got to help me do better. He just does, and then made that. And, like, that's a really, really cool story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise God for this.
Yes.
Yeah. So what happens as you start playing football for the youth leaders team?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so what kind of happens from there? How does that get you from there to what you're doing today?
Okay, for sure, when I start to go to church, yeah, God changed me from the inside out, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from time to time, I see that because I live in an anarchy construction, like a messy construction in my area where I live.
Yeah.
But, you know, people like, a lot of gangster truck addicted, I do not use all this. But from time to time, I spend time, most of my time at the church, and hang out with friend from church and share the love of Christ to other people. This is the thing changed in my life.
Yeah.
So then I see that God called me back to serve other. Way more than what I do just for the church,
yeah,
but also for my own community as well.
Mm.
So I start up a ministry called Child Development Ministry, and right now we support over 300 children.
Wow.
So our vision, we want to see life transformed through education, faith, and community development for the glory of God.
And is that a key need? Like, you're focusing on childhood education. Maybe help people understand, what's it like? Like, why is this a need that's there? Are there not otherwise schools available, or does education stop at a certain point? Like, what are the education needs in the area?
Yeah, when you ask about this, let me go back a little bit further.
Yeah.
I do not know how many people know about Cambodia. We had gone through a dark period.
Mm-hmm.
It's called genocide regime.
Mm.
The leader in that region killed nearly 2 million people.
Oh, wow.
High educated person, teacher, professor, leader, all killed.
Yeah.
After Pol Pot regime, we have only about 200 believers.
Mm.
Only about 200 believers.
Yeah.
And Cambodia start from zero.
Mm.
Most of educated person all gone.
Yeah.
And was that on purpose? Like he was targeting the higher ups of the society to get rid of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, the leader, they like targeted all the like professor, high educated person.
Yeah.
Like the revolution in China.
Yeah. Even though you are, you know, for this, I don't want to go a little bit deeper to a very like the hidden power behind or like a kind of a political things.
Sure.
But I just want to say that, you know, it destroys. So education also destroys.
Yeah.
So when one generation is already destroyed, it's hard for us to restore the country back.
For sure.
So Cambodia just have first general election back in 1993.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after 1993, after the general election, we still have first prime minister and second prime minister. You see?
So, yeah.
Yeah, this country, I mean, that we still, you know, have like political or internal conflict that we need to deal for a very long time.
Right. Yeah. Still very young. Like getting very young of what it's like to work off not someone that's ruling over everyone, but through these elections and things.
Yeah. So right now, job employment is like mostly like only like have in a few major capital city.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we have a Phnom Penh's capital city, Siem Reap province or Bat Dambong province. This is I can mention these three main area that there are a lot of like job employment.
Yeah.
But beside that, because we have 25 provinces, so a lot of people live in a remote area.
Yeah.
So when parents move out from home in order to find a job to do, they left the children behind. Mm-hmm. So they need interventions.
Yeah.
In order to help them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So our ministry, we go to the community, we serve the people in the community, especially the needy children.
Yeah.
Since the education system like still not really function well, we want to partner with the government. We also partner with the government in order to help.
Yeah.
Because when the public school is not enough for them, because 3 to 4 hours per day is not enough. So our learning center play a very important role in order to support the public school.
Yeah.
To provide more, we call supplemental program for the student. And then when they come home, we do not want to see them go home and hunger.
Yeah.
We provide food for them. And at the same time, we teach them Bible study and also, you know, take care for their family. We reach out community by have a home visit and also, you know, do a community outreach with the people. This is how we reach out people for Christ through our ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy. It's so was that the need is there, and you talked about kind of the reasons of which it reminded me of the story, and Vinek and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. In Rodney Stark wrote a book called The Rise of Christianity, and like it's actually a very similar story. Is that in, you know, if you look in first century or second century, when, you know, a society that just kind of tossed kids away. It's like if they had a girl or they had a baby that they didn't want, they would just set it outside to die from exposure or get to the animals. And it was the Christians who would, you know, just go, okay, there's the team of people who goes out every night and just looks for anybody who is like a left a kid out and then goes, provides care. And it made me, I thought of that early story from Christianity when Vinek was talking about, you know, the parents are in a rough position here. Like if the work is in the capital city, like it seems unconscionable to leave a kid, but like, I think these are hard situations for families, and God is providing a way for the orphan or the folks who don't have food or whatever to be cared for through the work that you're doing and through these education centers. Now, I guess the question becomes like, do people know that it's from people who are Christians who are providing these education centers?
Yes, they exactly know because we work with the church. And we ask the church to function this. It's not from like any NGO or in Cambodia. We have a non-governmental organization.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't want to show us the non-governmental organization. It is a church. For sure, it is a ministry of the church.
Yeah.
So when exactly they know we are Christian.
Yeah.
So when we share like that. But, you know, people, they... For sure, a lot of people, or I can say majority of people, they don't care whether you are a Christian or Buddhist. When you care about them, we soften their heart, soften their heart.
Yeah.
Because, you know, love, there is no, like, it's always like, there is no color for love, you know?
Yes,
like, yeah. And they really, like, open because you really care about them. you care about your their children, you care about them personally. Yeah, just like the word word say, people don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care.
Yeah.
You see?
Yep.
When you care them that much, for sure they open door for you know, like for their heart in order to accept Christ.
Yeah.
Sure.
Or similar. Yeah. That made me think about what you were talking about with your mom. Mm. Like what she saw was action in your life, something like not just two competing systems of belief, but it was something that translated to a change in how you thought or the way that you acted. And in these communities where they may have a perception of what a Christian is or what they believe, but what they see is people being the kind of the hands and feet and providing food. And I think you were mentioning too that, like, because it's through the church, you know, it's one thing to have your church open on a Sunday where people can come in, but like, this is a building that's being used for practical needs through the community. And so, again, they get to see things that go out to them in action and those types of things in the community, which helps people understand the words that might be being said on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Normally, church in Cambodia, they open door mostly on Sunday or Saturday.
Yeah.
But in our learning center or a church where we operate our ministry, we open door from Monday to Sunday.
Yeah.
So from Monday to Saturday, they come to study. Yeah. We have Khmer study, our language is Khmer, you know, English and mathematics and all this. And then at the weekend, we have Bible study, and then on Sunday we have worship service.
Yeah.
So both children and adults, you know, they come and join us. They really value the ministry of the church, because the church, like I say, share the love for them and care for them in intangible way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep. That's very cool.
Mm.
So like if people were interested in helping, like some of the ministry that you do, how would they go about doing that?
So far, I do not have like any donor agency, but I have a connection of friends.
Okay.
Yeah, who can contact and help.
Okay.
So far, on the way here with Ben, he also asked whether I have any like donor agency or how do I get support. Actually, I have my good friend who loves Jesus from Singapore, a group of cell group people who love God, and then they come on board and to support me when they come to see my ministry in their person. Because the way that we do and really touch their heart, then they come on board to support us as individual.
Yeah.
But actually, they come from a very small group called a cell group. Yeah. And over here, I have a very good friend, you know, Vicky Ernie.
Yeah.
And Ernie Hoffey.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. He support me personally for my family. This is how I survive, you know, like a local missionary like me. It's tough to survive, you know.
Yeah. You know, so maybe just to help you guys who are listening from a perspective, like we've had quite a few people come through the show and people who wanted to come on. And generally, like they're people who are, there's like a structure, there's a program and like there's places to give and stuff like that. And there are so many people out there doing like what Vanek is doing, like the people who just there was a need and they did what the people of Jesus do. And interestingly enough, like there isn't always like a bunch of infrastructure. Like I think some of the we have a friend in Pakistan who's, you know, helps with like debt slavery and things, and like it's him.
Yeah,
it's not like this organization. Now, here's what it doesn't come with deductions. It doesn't come with like a lot, some things that you otherwise might give to. But I say all that to say, as an encouragement, to know that like certainly there's places to give money and time and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just know that there's all kinds of people doing all kinds of things, and it's just to Vanek's point, it's friends, networks of friends, or cell groups, or like churches or small churches or whatever, who like find a need. And like my encouragement to you is like, that's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine if you find people that God has brought into your path that you can support. It's okay if it doesn't have an infrastructure. Now, check it out for sure. Make sure you're dealing with a good situation. But anyway, that's an encouragement to you. And so maybe I will also tell you this. If this is something where, like, you are interested in helping, if you want to use the show as the conduit, if you want to reach out to me and then I can get you in contact with the neck, let's do that. I think that sounds good. And so you can get us on the Life from the Path. But see, now this is the only time at which I don't want to call it the complaint line, but it's the phone number that you can reach the show.
The neck line.
Yeah, the neck line. It's 515-517-0085. Call or text if you want to leave us a message, or just send a text message and say, look, yeah, I'd be interested in finding ways that I can support Vinek. And like, I'll get you in contact with him, and then you guys can kind of take it from there. But just know that it's not a, I really like this. This makes me happy. And I just want to give you permission that it doesn't.
Yes.
Check it. But yes. Like, it's okay to just have people of Jesus who have no other people of Jesus who are doing things that Jesus would do. And it's okay to support that.
Yeah. So. And like, I can tell you why I love it. Now, like, it does, like, sometimes I'll do my taxes, right? And I'm like, I've literally not given any money to any 501(c) companies this year. And I'm like, dang it. But here's what I also didn't do. I didn't pay for the overhead of office buildings. I didn't pay for a bunch of t-shirts and logos, right? Like, I think well-meaning folks, it still ends up, by the time you follow all the rules that even America has to be a nonprofit organization, there's just so much wrapped up into it. And what I love about giving to places like Vinek or even our friend in Pakistan is, like, it's just going to a guy and he loves Jesus. So even if he does something wrong with it, that's God's to deal with, right? Like, my job was to be faithful in the thing that God asked me to do. And then it's that fella's job to listen to God and have him do good things with it, right? And like, I like this a lot better because it just feels like I know the things are being done honestly. I know they can make small decisions instead of big decisions, you know, that can go, even if you meet a family that's like, yeah, we just got to do more for this one family. And you're like, go ahead. I love that. I don't want to be involved in that decision. Please do it, you know? And so, like, I really do love that. I it's just a very freeing way of giving where I don't, my motivation is not, is it going to be a tax deduction?
Yeah. And it takes all kinds, man. There's things that, like, bigger organizations can do that it's hard to do for individual people, for sure. Like, it takes all kinds, but just... It's okay.
It's good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, let me know. Hit me up at the Life from the Path of a Neckline, 515-517-0085. Call or text. We'd love, if you're interested, I'll get you in contact and you guys can chat and do whatever. Okay, so exciting. So, like, what are you, as you think about the work that you're doing and the lives and things that you're able to impact, is there anything or things that you're particularly excited about over the next kind of year or two that you're trying to do or that you're seeing as fruit from the stuff that you're doing?
So far, something that I want to share, we have 20 young people that study in university right now.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we have 9 graduate.
Oh, nice.
Praise God for this.
Yeah.
Our first bunch of the students, university students, they are all female.
Wow.
Who struggle a lot through poverty.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
That they can overcome it and graduate.
Is there opportunity, like, by going to school, are there jobs and things available for them to take advantage of from graduating?
Yes. Okay. You know, when they finish university or when they have opportunity to start their university, for sure, they have a job, you know, whether like any small job they will help.
Yeah.
Like in Cambodia right now, all the students that come to study in Phnom Penh capital city, I have a job for them.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of connection. My good friend who run a company or who run a school. So I ask my friend to take them as their staff.
Yeah.
So along the way, they study in university. And at the same time, they also study, like they also work.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they cannot, you know, just study, you know, yeah. they have to work at the same time. Mm-hmm. So right now we have 9 graduate and 3 of them come back in order to serve, and then they serve as a full-time staff for my ministry. And I, yeah, to take this time, I also thank to my friend in Colorado Spring who support all the university students.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the ministry called The Very Last. So you can check his ministry website as well.
Yeah.
TheVeryLast.org. Yeah, okay. His name is Jim Ross.
Jim Ross, TheVeryLast.org.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. He support the university student.
Oh, that's very awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Although here's the trouble. Vinek really got it. He knows like some folks in the United States, but he only knows people that live in the cold state. He's the poor guy. Like we were like driving in, and it's just unfortunately cold here for him. And if he goes to Colorado and then Iowa and then Washington State.
Oh,
and
Vinek, come on.
We get some connections down in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Florida, you know. California.
Although here's Vinek melts my heart a little, because we were talking about someone was asking him, you know, why would you go to Iowa? Is there anything there to see? And he's like, my friends, good friends are in Iowa. That's why I went to see him. Like, oh man, what a great thing to say.
Yeah, that's true.
Usually people are like, it's really boring there and there's nothing to look at or do. Well, I'm super. Thank you. I want to thank you so much, Vinek, for taking time out of your day and hanging out with us and sharing your story. I'm super. Always super excited to see, like Vinek knows the same Jesus you know.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Vinek's guided by the same spirit that you have. And there are unique opportunities. And I'll restate this just because we have primarily, we do have other people who listen to the show outside of this country, but just like primarily American audience. Sometimes you hear stories like this and like, God stirs something within you, or there's something, and you're like, I feel like I could do more with my life. And there are plenty of places, like we live in a different country. We have different issues going on. Some of the poverty stuff isn't quite the same thing. Some of the it's the government, like, I mean, our government's interesting for sure, but like, it's not, you know, it's not quite the same things. And so the stuff that God may lead you to may not look the same as what Vinek is doing and what the folks in Pakistan are doing. But it also doesn't mean that you can't help with those types of things. I'm telling you, you can make $100 a lot easier here than you can a lot of places in the world.
Yeah.
And I was hold on, I better switch camera here. Our friend in Sarfraz in Pakistan, we were talking about there's folks that are in debt slavery there. And like, I kind of have a structure of where the way my job works. So there's certain times a year which like more money becomes available to me, like just bonus time or stock time or something. And I was kind of waiting for that time to come around to help with this next family that we're going to be helping. And specifically, though, it was a family that we had were able to help get out of debt slavery. So him and his family got to leave the brickyard where they were forced to make bricks to kind of like they were under the debt slavery. And so they got free. And then you kind of provide a place to stay and some food for a little bit of time. But like, it's not very long. It's like 3 months. And we were hoping to be able to get him a donkey cart so that he could do sell produce and stuff in the market. And like a month or two had gone by, and like our friend was checking in, and he's like, hey, I was wondering, you know, do you think we've got any money for the donkey cart? And it was about a month before I thought I'd be able to get some of this bonus money. And it just struck me. I was studying on a Saturday night for church, because that's when I do it. Just so everyone knows, I study late for the test. It's Saturday night. And I could not focus. And I find that whenever I'm trying to study, Dan, I don't know if this happens to you or maybe Mike too, like for youth group or whatever, but like, when I'm trying to study to go teach something is often when God will not let me go for something that I should be doing. Sometimes I probably need to go apologize to somebody. It's generally my wife. Like I there's a repentance in there. And so before he'll let me go gain information that I maybe pass on to someone, I need to deal with something that's going on in my life. Mm-hmm. And at this particular time, it was the guy who needed the donkey cart just kept coming up. And then what struck me was, is that like, what would it feel like to be this man who you've been making bricks your whole life? That's what you know how to do. And so you find, yes, there's freedom in it. Like, you get out of the brick factory and now it's you and your wife and your kids. But he actually doesn't know how he's going to provide for his kids tomorrow. He knows he needs to do it. He doesn't have a ton of like extra skills or whatever. He's not an electrician. He can't just go out and start doing work on the poles. And I've also been going through some interesting things at my work. So it was relevant to me to think about, like, what does it look like to provide for your family? And I just could not shake that, like, I don't want another day to go by for this man to have to worry about how he might provide for his family. And he's not asking to just give him money. He just, can you help get me a donkey and a cart to put some vegetables in so that I can go sell them at the market? And anyway, like, it just is easier for me to come across. I don't remember how much this donkey was. I think it was $500 or something like that. It's not nothing, but like, I can make $500 easier in my country to help with that donkey cart than the folks, the neighbors and friends and churches in Pakistan. It's just harder. It just, there's not as much money there. And so anyway, I just say that to say that, like, sometimes it's like you hear stories like that and you're going to want to go, I should go move there. I'm like, I don't know if you should go move there. You know, like,
you can, but
maybe.
But there's people that love Jesus in Cambodia.
Vanek's there.
Vanek is there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and like, he knows the culture. He knows the people. And like, sometimes the things that we have a lot of, which in this country, it's money. And so like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. I think you should go. I think it's okay to go. I think it's okay to visit and be excited. And Dan, the work that Dan's doing in Zimbabwe and his team's doing in Zimbabwe, it's kind of the same thing. You experience it. And so you know how to share. Like, I'm inspired listening to Vanek and his story. My friend Sarfraz is inspiring to me. But it also reminds me that, like, some of the things that the Spirit is doing in your life, again, there's unique things in the culture that, like, I'm set up for to do here. And, like, there's ideas similar to the ideas of around you talking between, like, Buddhism and Christianity and helping people see the difference. That work, actually, there's American work going on, but it's not really Buddhism. It's like people going, I don't think there is a God, or if there is one, I don't want to listen. Or I think Christians are crooks, and I think they misuse them. Look at how big that church is. I don't think they do anything worth value in the culture. And like, people doing the exact same types of things, like meeting people and having it be action and not just saying, come to our building, I'm coming to your house, or I'm coming to your school, you know. Some of the things are markedly the same. But anyway, I just, I want you to be cautious that the first thing you reach for is guilt to go, oh, I should sell all my stuff and go live an impoverished lifestyle. I mean, to be honest with you, some of the things that I have that allow me to live the life I have is what allows me to keep the job I keep, which generates the money that I have to buy a donkey cart in Pakistan to help things like what Vanek is doing. And so just pray on it. You don't have to come up with it on your own. Just pray on it. Let God lead you. But like, I will say that a lot of times, if your reaction to hearing stories like that is guilt, that's actually probably more you than the Spirit. I actually think the Spirit like will guide you to action, which is the same thing that your guilt is trying to get you to do. I just think the Spirit's got better ideas than what you came up with. And so just pray on it and be open to God using the thing that is actually easier for you to get than a lot of places in the world, which is your cash.
Yeah.
And so just be open to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. You're listening to Live from the Path. Thank you. All right. Vanek's going to hang out. We got other stuff that we're going to be talking about, and where he's got thoughts, he's going to jump in. But anyway, super excited. Thank you, Vanek, so much for sharing. We appreciate it. Speaking of other cool stories within our current cultural context, enter the McCormick, Cody McCormick. So you've met Cody before. You've met Donald before. We had Donald on the program and Cody on the program. And then we talked when Donald passed.
Yeah.
And it was very just hard. Just hard for his family, hard for the community around him, because he was just such a dude, such a unique fella that just had an impact on all kinds of folks.
He was such a dude. That is exactly how I would describe him.
But anyway, I give you that. And if you look for, there's a couple of past episodes, one called Into the McCormick and one Into the McCormick 2 that have Cody and Donald on there. In case you haven't heard those, I just want to give you a little bit of a backstory. But Cody's here tonight. I like how Cody's here because he was open open.
Got nothing going on?
Nothing going on tonight.
And I think that's awesome. And by the way, that's generally true. That's an open invitation to whoever's listening.
I believe my text to Mike said, are you cool with a schlub driving the ratings down a little bit? Yep.
So I'm like, can't get lower than low. Come on in.
This is the benefit of an unpopular program. But here's the good news, is that Cody was at the Josiah Queen concert last night.
Yes, sir.
It was here in the Des Moines area. And interestingly enough, two massive Christian concerts going on. Josiah Queen was at the Valor Ballroom, and then Winter Jam was in town.
Yeah.
Have you taken in Winter Jam, Mike? Have you gone?
I've never gone on purpose.
I also have not been there, but my family has gone before, and Vinek went. Yes. He took in the Winter Jam experience.
Like this weekend?
Yeah, he went yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
He braved it was nice. The blizzard. And best of the night, would you say? Chris Tomlin fan?
Chris Tomlin. Jeremy Camp. I forgot his full name, but
that's all right.
Roca Show something. Sorry, I do not. Jeremy, who sing the song "When I Meet Jesus"?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking him up.
And he was there. Okay,
yeah.
So lots of. Did you hear any bands that you or music that you hadn't heard before that you thought that's good?
A lot.
Matthew West was there.
Yeah, Matthew West also.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
It was a great experience for me.
Good concert. Okay, good. Good. Worth the weather. So anyway, interesting, two really big concerts going around here in Des Moines area for Christian artists. And so, Cody, you're at the Josiah Queen show. Tell me about your experience.
Yeah, so a little backstory about that. So Donald gets really excited one time. This must be last summer. And he's like, Dad, have you heard Josiah Queen? And I'm like, yeah, I think he's on the TikTok, right? He does that song on the TikTok about being Barabbas. And he's like, yeah, that's it. He's like, he sings this really cool song about being a garden in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And I was like, sounds cool, bud. I mean, the people in this room have experienced the Donald. So, like, he very persistent about it. So, of course, then it became like, well, let me just put it on your car.
Yeah.
So we listened to that thing, and you know, it really hit home the song. Like, it's a really good song about, you know, I'll just be what you need me to be. You need me to be a gardener in Manhattan. That's what I'll be.
Yeah.
Right. And so Donald's favorite song. We listened to that thing 187 times every time we were in the car. Right. So shortly after Donald passed away, and another total God thing. Josiah Queen announces a concert in West Des Moines at Valor Ballroom, right? Small venue, as the people around here know. It holds packed in, standing room only, about 2,500 people.
Yeah.
He's doing venues like University of Texas at Austin and Kansas City. And West Des Moines happens to get sandwiched between Kansas City and Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
So he's playing these venues of 6,000, 7,000, 10,000 people, and then he's going to come to a standing room only place of 2,500, right?
Yeah.
So sits out of place as it was, and I'm like, man, I gotta go to that concert, right? I gotta do it for Donald. This is a sign, right? So I called my good buddy Mike up and says, hey. What do you think, we get a bunch of people together and we all go there and honor Donald and go to this concert that he would love, right? So we start working on it. I was like, hey, let me call and see if I can get a hold of somebody like at the ticket office or something and get a group of tickets. You know, I'd never been to Bel Air, so I didn't quite know what to expect. I was like, let's get a group of tickets. You know, and then we can just figure out the money and everybody can pay me and whatever. But we'll have all the tickets, make it a little frictionless, right? So I just did a little Googling. I found a production manager or his manager, and I sent him a quick email and was like, hey, I want to buy 50 tickets. I'm not asking for free tickets, nothing. I just want to buy them. But I want to make it easy for everybody and do this. So he sends back and he's like, hey, you know, it's all handled by the box office. And in this, I had explained why we were going to do this. And I had sent the program folio from Donald's funeral along with the email that I sent, right? Just to kind of explain it. And he's like, yeah, the box office handles that. Let me see if I can dig up a number or somebody you can call to do that. And then he's like, by the way, I'm going to forward all of this on to the team and just we're going to be praying for you in this difficult time, right? So this is back in September when they announced the concert. It ended up falling through on the ticket office. They're like standing room only. You're just going to have to buy them through normal channels. We end up working it out where we were able to buy enough tickets to kind of feed the community that needed them and do that. And everybody kind of bought their own tickets. So that's all back in September. So we're buying these tickets a long time ago. Concert was obviously last night, March 15. And so we go back and forth and we're getting excited for it. I'm actually was a little on the anxious side coming yesterday. You know, I've seeing some of the people that Donald interacted with, just didn't know what that was going to be for feeling wise and that. And it ended up being fantastic. Right. And me and my wife prayed about it a little bit and just all those things. Me and Mike, obviously we've talked about it a bunch, but we go to the concert and he's going through it all and hit the first part of his show. Like he puts on a good show.
He really does.
He hypes up the crowd and everybody's hopping and jumping and doing his things. And, he gets everybody going. And then he, does a little sit down and he gathers the band around on the stage. And, he says, you know, that somebody sent an email to the production manager and just gave a little bit of a story about Donald, about how he passed away in the car accident. And and then just took the time to pray over our family, mm-hmm. like right there on stage,
wow.
out in front of everybody, right? So incredible moment, considering the conversation was had 6 months ago.
Yeah. Right. Right. Cause you said, so you had no idea, like they didn't say, hey, he's going to say a thing or whatever like that.
No, he was just like, hey, we'll see what we can come up with. And you know, it was one of those, there's no expectation of anything or things like that.
Cause
you know,
it's about impossible to get a hold of an artist anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
Because there's so many like Instagram fronts and PR machines and whatever.
Yeah.
That like the odds that the guy, you know,
gets a message.
Gets the message. Right. You're like, I had to try, but you know, it wasn't ever gonna work.
You know? And we knew that, right? I mean, that was our feeling, but we were all gonna be there to be in the presence of the Lord, see a great show, and just all be together as a community in support of Donald, right, to honor him. But to have him stop the concert, not stop, but build it into the concert, because he obviously said that and then dedicated the song right to Donald and did that. It was an incredible moment to have that. So,
here's the reason, like I was going to type up a message to send to them, like they'll never get it. This is, I kind of almost bailed on it, right?
I got an email.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah. but like what they don't know, right, is like, my car was packed with kids who were friends with Donald, but Donald was the garden in Manhattan for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of the reason that Donald loved that song. If you ever listen to it, it's basically like I will go where you plant me.
Yeah.
Right? I will be the water where it's dry. You know what I'm saying? Like, I will go in the places that don't look like that's where you belong. And Donald felt that way.
I'll be the road sign when you've lost your way.
That's right. And so, like, Donald felt that way, and most of his friends didn't love and follow Jesus.
Right.
And Donald's like, well, is this where God has me at? I will be faithful in that, right? And so, like, what Josiah Queen doesn't know is, like, my car was full of Donald's friends who, like, they don't love Jesus, right? Like, the only time they saw Jesus was Jesus reflected through Donald. And so, like, they just agreed to go to the concert because Donald would have wanted to go, right? And so, like, even on the way there, we stopped at the Casey's, and, like, I bought Donald a cream soda.
Yeah.
It sits in my car right now. Like, everyone else was getting drinks. I'm like, it feels wrong not to have good old Donald a cream soda, because that's what he would have. You know what I'm saying? But like, and the reason that we bought it is because his friends that were in the car knew. Like, they saw that cream soda and they knew what it was for, right? And so, like, it was just super cool because they got to see the thing that Donald was trying to show them or wanted to reflect into their life. And like, it wasn't just one-dimensional, but it was coming from just Donald, right? So then we go to this concert, and like, this traveling artist stops the show, prays over the family, mentions Donald's name, and then Jesus is praised all night, right? All night. And then someone gives up and just goes through Acts 3 and of all the things that God has in plan for us that we wouldn't normally have seen. And it could not have been better for God to put them in a situation where they had a great time. They got to remember their friend, you know, and they got to see their friend honored by like a traveling cool artist
maybe
guy.
Maybe the hottest guy in that realm of Christian music.
In that genre, right? And on top of the fact that like, and on top of that, the things that were coming out of his mouth were all in service to how good God 100%. Is, to how good God is, and like, and where actual joy is found, and how you become a garden in Manhattan, not based on how hard you try, but like how much you're willing to hand over so God can change it. And so like, it was just like the conversations I got to have on the car ride home, which was at 25 miles an hour because it was a blizzard, and it took us probably an hour and a half to get home because they closed all the roads.
Yeah.
But, I couldn't have asked for the time, right? If I'd have said, God, I really want to have conversations after this show, but it's only a 45-minute drive. God's like, I'll give you an hour and a half. I'll send a blizzard, and they'll shut all the roads down there.
Or it was Donald making fun of us for all standing outside.
So, it was just very, very cool. And it was very cool that, like, that a traveling Christian artist would look down, like Josiah Queen would look down and go, like, if it was a secular artist, he's like, this is my show. People paid to come see me. Like, I'm sorry about the situation you're in, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not going to stop this concert for that. And like, people who love Jesus just act differently. They just act differently, you know? And so like, it was very, very cool.
It ties in
with
Vinette, like a lot of what from Vinette's story.
Exactly. Yeah. Like the actions show that we're just different. And it's merely we're different because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yep. We don't try harder to be different. We just are. And like, there's parts of it that are just not in your control because like, there's a Holy Spirit living in you, and it's going to dictate the way that you love, and you love deeper than most people, and you catch, like, you have empathy for more people, and your heart goes, man, I gotta have less of me and more of that of others. And like, you wouldn't come to that decision on your own because it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Right. But the Holy Spirit will go, you can be less of you, more of others, because I got you, and I will keep an eye on you. I got this thing covered, right? And so, like, it was super, super cool. Yeah. A very cool thing.
There was one last bit about that is Mike, and I haven't shared this with you, but last night as I was talking after the show with his, we were waiting to see if maybe Josiah had come back out. I wanted to shake his hand and thank him for that, for that fantastic tribute and just praying over us, right? And he had already gone off to his bus and all those things and cleaned up. And so his stage manager came out and talked to me for a few moments, and one thing how I can know that they are authentic in this is Caleb was his name, and he told me, he said, you know, Josiah gathered the whole crowd around and they watched his funeral online.
What?
Afterwards. Seriously? they looked it up and watched his funeral.
Man. Really?
Yeah, and said that it was just incredible to watch, in the music selections that we had. Obviously, Mike performing, you performing a song, and then Garden of Manhattan, and then we had a song from Crowder and that. And so just, he was like, the music selections he had and the things that people said about him, he's like, was just, it was a testament to who he was.
Yeah.
So, you know, that authenticity of, that guy doesn't know me.
Whew.
That's the stage manager coming out and saying,
right.
Like, he gathered his whole crew around and they watched the funeral, like, after, because it was, you know, live stream. So then there was a recording of it and all of that stuff. And
that's wild.
Incredible, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's, I mean, overall, like, just, it's just so cool to meet authentic folks that, like, it, and they're hard to meet in the music industry. They're just hard to meet.
Yeah.
Right. And like, it just overall, it was just, couldn't have been a better way for God to just basically give this big old hug, you know, that says, I know you're going through it. I got your boy. I'm going to surround you with people who love you. And I'm going to make my name great in the occasion that you chose to celebrate the life that your son had.
Absolutely.
Like, it was just awesome all around, you know? It was very, very cool.
Yeah, and if just that one story brings one person to him, right? That it's worth the wait, right?
Yeah.
I got coffee with at least two coming. I'll tell you that as a result of that concert. So
yeah, for sure. So yeah, I guess that's the story of that.
What an awesome story.
Yeah.
What an
incredible
awesome story. Yeah, and like, here's the theme. There's a theme running through this, is that like, there's a lot, you could look at it and go, look, there's a lot of awesome people. And that's true. And the threat is that an awesome God does awesome things through faithful people.
Yeah.
And so it's so cool to look at. Because interestingly enough, if you think about, like, Josiah Queen has a particular talent. I signed up for the text notifications from the Josiah Queen team, like, whatever, 2 years ago or so. I literally have never heard a full song by this man.
Dude, they're good.
Yeah. I'm so bad at listening to the stuff.
Come on, okay. Ben. But these are classics.
Okay, so, except for Donald's Funeral. So I heard it then. I was that's the one. But anyway, out of the blue, after I, because some people were talking about it, and so I signed up for it, and then I got like a happy birthday text.
Yeah.
And I showed it to my kids, and they're like, "What? You're friends with Josiah Queen?"
Of course.
And I'm like, the radio show is low rent, but it gives the impression that maybe, just maybe, you might know this man. And so I played that off for like a few weeks at least. I got away with it.
Yeah.
But anyway, the thread here is that, like, there are boundless numbers of the hands and feet of Jesus working in all countries, in all situations, with different talents, and with, like, and God using every one of those things. And, like, I'm just telling you will not exhaust the number of people when you're walking with Jesus that you'll go, holy cats, what a cool dude, what an awesome lady. Because the thread is God does awesome things through very normal people. Josiah Queen is a normal dude.
Yeah.
He's a normal dude who, like, struggles and loves and, like, tries his best and, like, will sometimes fail and sometimes just do all. But, like, he's a normal guy, just like the guys in this room who just want to do the things that Jesus is drawing them into. And, like, you will not exhaust that pot if you're out there doing, just being part of the things that Jesus is doing.
Yeah. It was cool.
Okay. All right, sweet. Mike, I don't know. What do you want to do? You want to just do some advice here?
Yeah.
All right, let's do some advice.
Yeah, here we go. Okay. Well, hold on. I got to put on my glasses.
Hold on. Vinek is at his best when it's real late at night, and so I think he's ready to give out some advice.
Well, it's like noon over there, isn't it? Is it?
Okay, yeah, it's like 10:30. 12 hours, yeah. 10:30.
12-hour difference, so.
Oh, okay.
Have you gotten used to it? Like, you've been here a few weeks. Do you feel like you've finally got settled in?
Yeah. It's all right now.
Okay.
Oh, what is this?
What's that?
Hold on, my phone. It got rid of it for me. Two seconds.
Okay.
Well, I'm coming back to it.
Hey, while you're looking for that, another thing Vinek told me on the way in here, he runs. Huh? Like, and the longest run, would you say 64 kilometers?
Yeah, 64.
Okay, so we're getting coffee or whatever, and we mentioned it, and he says, I run a long way. And I'm like, I'm expecting him to say something like...
5 blocks.
10 kilometers or 20 kilometers or something like this. And he says 64, and I don't know if he saw it on my face, but I was flabbergasted at this amount of running. And so, yeah, long run. And he's running, you're running the London Marathon.
Next month. Yeah.
Now, but it's virtual, though. So, like, you can sign up to run this thing and not be in London, but you just run the distance at, like, wherever you're from, right?
64. Yes. Yeah.
Can you do it? Yeah. Drive your car real slow?
There's one other thing, though. Man, after we were talking afterwards, 64 kilometers... of hill run, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is
hill, like, run. Flat ground.
Well, I was on the mountain.
It is trail, and then we run into the jungle and up to the mountains.
I find this disgusting.
I spend 11 hours and 23 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
No. I can't sit on the couch for that long.
The conversion rate is like 40 miles, I think we looked up, right?
Yeah, 40 miles.
40 miles?
Yeah.
What do you think about for that long?
Yeah, when I run for sure, I see that this is one of the way that God helped me to overcome my heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
I have Wolf Parkinson Y. I do not know you know about. Normally, doctor always say Wolf Parkinson Y.
Okay.
It is a kind of a heart disease that very low heart rate.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So my heart sometimes, you know, very abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to overcome it instead of taking the medicine, step out and run.
He runs the mountain.
I love this.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
I find it less disgusting now after you told that story. Wow, that's super amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
40 miles. 64 kilometers.
It's a lot. That's a lot. I'm just saying, I expected a much... I was going to be impressed with a much lower number, Vinek. Like, you could have said like 10 kilometers and be like, wow, look at him getting
after. Maybe we should get you a donkey that like rides around with water so you can just have a donkey running next to you all the time.
Yeah.
So please pray for me. Next year, January, I will run 100 kilometers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Holy buckets.
This is the ultra, we call ultra trail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's in Cambodia?
In Cambodia.
Okay. Is there a lot of, I mean, how many people are running this thing? Is it with?
This year we have almost 3,000 people run.
Wow.
Yeah, for the trail. But for the, like, half marathon,
yeah,
we have over 400. Oh, okay. 4,000 people run.
Man.
Yeah.
I just... Is this willpower? Do they just build... Are people more...
I think Cambodians are more robust.
This is what I'm saying.
They're healthier and more willing to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't
I walked a 5K
like that,
once.
Yeah. I watched somebody run a 5K one time. Yeah. Wore me out.
All right.
All right, here we go. Here's the question. Ready?
Okay, question.
Dear Live from the Path, I was in a relationship with John for 2 years. Because he had nowhere to go, he continued living with me for 6 months after I ended the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. John has burned every bridge he's ever had, including his parents and his brother. He is an emotionally and verbally abusive alcoholic.
Okay.
John's brother, we'll call him Jerry, I have now fallen for each other.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy. We grew up together and have been friends our entire lives. We have discussed that if it weren't for this issue, we would marry. My problem is Jerry is sure his mother will disapprove. He says he would end our relationship if they found out about us, and she is against it. We are almost 50 years old. I believe we could, quote, be just friends to the outside world, including Jerry's parents, and keep our private lives to ourselves for now. He is not concerned about what John would think. We have both experienced this type of connection only once before in our lives. How do we tell our friends, family, and most importantly, his parents?
Okay, I'm just going to restate. You tell me whether I'm understanding it right. This lady, who I'm going to call Martha.
Okay.
Martha dates John for 6 years?
5 years.
5 years. Mm. Breaks up with him, but he stays living in her house for another 6 months.
Yes.
Okay. In the meantime, because he got nowhere else to go because he's burned all the bridges. He doesn't have anybody to stay with or anything. Okay. In the meantime... She wants to be in a long-term relationship with his brother, Jerry.
Yeah, she wants to marry Jerry.
She wants to get married to Jerry. Neither of them care what John thinks.
Yeah.
But they're worried about getting married because they think his parents, which have to be 80, like what they think about the relationship.
Yes, this is the concern.
And wants to know, again... No one cares. Like, it's not, what do I tell John? No one cares about John. They want to know, how do I get the parents and or the people around us to be okay with the relationship with Jerry?
Yeah.
This is a wild situation.
So, I got one clarification question.
Okay.
Are we still in the 6 months? Or, like, the 6 months yesterday? Or, so is John still living there?
No. He continued... With an end point.
Okay, so there's an end.
So he's gone.
So it's finite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, John's out in the streets.
That was my first thing, is I will get rid of John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so John's already, he's wherever John's
abusive,
at.
Burn bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
Gone, he's got.
So he's not, he's just a distraction in the story.
Yeah.
Why are we even talking about him?
Well, maybe because she's trying to marry his brother.
Well, maybe he did. Mm. Ooh, yeah.
And but still.
So is that why the parents are mad?
Yeah, otherwise...
She should have married John?
Would they accepted Martha if she wanted to marry John?
It says John, the original guy, John, was an emotionally and verbally abusive.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
So why do the parents care?
We're just going to stop right here. Yeah. Hold on.
I thought this was a 12-year-old writing this.
If the parents cared, or Jerry cared... They would have stepped in while she was being emotionally and verbally abused.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if either one of these parties was concerned for this woman, they would have said, my son John is abusive to you. You need to break up with him. You can live with us until you can get John out of your house.
Yeah.
So like Because it goes down to action, not words. Yeah. So, like, if either one of those characters, either the parents or this Jerry character, cared enough about this lady in the first place, they'd have helped facilitate John getting out of there.
Yeah.
And they did not facilitate that. They didn't say, hey, I'm sorry that John is being mean to you and talking to you poorly. He will live with me, Jerry, so he will not burn your house anymore. Yeah. They left this reprobate of a man to live at this woman's house for 6 months.
Yeah.
So saying all that, I don't give two rips what the parents or Jerry has to say.
Yeah.
She needs to understand that she does not make good choices with men.
Agreed.
Right.
All right. And so don't trust yourself. And you're writing us for advice. I would find yourself a nice church and find some Christian friends and have them evaluate the situation. And they will tell you that this new guy also is probably not a good decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Stop caring what the parents think, to Mike's point. I would not consider that you found the love of your eternal life with Jerry. Also, to Mike's point, because Jerry seemed to have... not cared until you were available.
But she has great butterflies.
This is what everyone thinks when you start a new relationship. You're like, I've never felt this way before.
Yeah.
What you have forgotten is the other times you did feel that way.
Yeah.
When you got in a relationship with somebody and you're like, I've never felt this way before. Your feelings are very untrustworthy, right? It's when you're super hungry and you make a really bad decision. And you make a really bad decision.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like every bad decision you have ever made is attached to a feeling that you had.
The endorphins are flying.
Yes.
Until he starts calling you names.
I'm not saying that like the Holy Spirit in you and God did not give you a mechanism to feel things, but he also gave you a community to be able to bounce some of the things off of. Like when it comes to what relationship you're in, long-term decisions, being in a relationship with an abuser of sorts, your community should have sussed that out for you. It should have helped filter it down and said, you know what? Let's get you out of here. And then we'll get the police involved to get John out the house, right? But, like, because you don't have a community, all you have is your feelings, and your feelings led you to marry or led you to be in a relationship with John in the first place.
Yeah.
And then to stay in that relationship. So, like, to all these fellows are saying, it's very important to have a community around you that loves you, and they love Jesus more than they love you, because then they will be willing to say hard things to you and not worry that you don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Secular says, this is Secular's advice. You and Jerry are nearly 50 years old. Quotes, we shouldn't make any announcements to anyone. Jerry needs to be adult enough to summon up the courage to tell his mama that he has fallen in love with you and plans to make you his wife. If he can't bring himself to do that, your relationship will eventually wither. Personally, I think it's time for you to take a step back so you won't be writing me about this problem a year or two or five from now. You deserve better treatment than this.
Yeah, I mean, that's mostly in line.
Yeah, kind of. Like, at the end of the day, though, you don't deserve better treatment because you've acted better. You make bad decisions.
Yeah.
You deserve better treatment because you are a reflection of God into the world. Right?
Yeah.
And so, like, everyone deserves better treatment than you're getting.
Yeah.
You're just adding to the problem by making bad decisions.
Yeah.
Okay, ready? Second one.
Yep.
Dear Live from the Path, I have a daughter who resides in another state and has had self-confidence issues since she was young. Her first marriage ended when she found out her husband was having affairs. Her second husband appears to be controlling, but gives her stability, which she does like. When I visit them, he's rude and condescending, which I have tried to ignore as he is her choice. Over the last 20 years, he has become increasingly controlling and rude to the point that I no longer want to visit them. While I miss my daughter, I know she is aware and will do nothing about his behavior. We talk on the phone, but only on speaker when he is present. Now here's the problem. Do I leave a sizable inheritance to her, which I know he will control? While I don't want her to feel I am punishing her for her choice in a husband, it makes me feel like I would be rewarding him for his rude behavior. Ooh.
Is that the only child?
Didn't say. Yeah, didn't say.
I think you do. I mean, you leave it. Huh?
Yeah. Vinek, they got a bunch of money. She wants to leave to her daughter, but she's worried the controlling husband's going to misuse it. What do you think? What do you think she should do?
Mm. I think it's hard for me to answer in this time.
Yeah. It's hard.
Because, you know, a lot of time people ask questions and sometimes it seems like something's high behind. The question is not clearly, because sometimes we do not know clearly the background behind the question that we need to. For me, I don't want to just throw the answer without knowing the root behind that can help to, you know, like if she feel itchy, we must know that the itchy in the we scratch her in the right spot.
Yeah.
I'm gonna use that.
Yeah.
I'm using that one, Vinak. gotta make sure that if she's itchy, we're scratching in the right spot. I love that.
All we wanted to do was give out terrible advice, and Vinak is full of wisdom and says, "I don't know about this.
Yeah.
This is not a good idea."
Actually, it is pretty common, like to your point, that people tell the story that they want to tell, right?
Yeah.
So, like, we have a limited amount of information, and one of a key question that we often run into is like, "What are you not saying?" Mm-hmm. Like, what's the other information that would have helped? Because, like, you know that you're not getting a full story. Even well-intentioned people don't generally actually tell you the full amount of stuff. Not even if they're not trying to be deceitful, you're not getting a full picture. And so, like, it is very hard with limited set of facts to try to give out information. Yeah.
Actually, sometimes I really want to, like people ask, I really want to answer for sure.
Yeah.
But it is very helpful if someone who asks really want to have the real answer.
Yeah.
For life from the path can be, you know, like personal message.
Yeah.
And find out more. Or we can advise her to, or the one who asked this question can contact with the local pastor.
Yeah.
Or someone who we recommend her to meet personally.
Yeah.
And clearly ask about what is going on right now, or if she want clearly an answer. Then we can recommend all this kind of
step
to do.
Yep.
So I think something that I share like this, I think it can be an answer to the question as well.
Yeah,
a step she need to take in order to handle all this kind of
issue. It's grayer than it sounds. It needs more information for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so hold on. So overall, if you had to give some safe advice that I was pretty general, I would say, but cover some ground, what would your advice be? So ours would be, what's the main question? You can answer this question without answering her question, right? Is like, if you have money when you're about to pass away and you know it and you decide where that money goes afterwards, does how people treated you in life, how your kids treated you in life, like, does that go into the decision-making process on whether you give them money or not?
I would say yes. So, like, it's my money. And the question is like, what do I want? What does my money facilitate into the world? If it facilitates goodness and blessing into the lives of my family, my children, or my friends or something like that, and that's how I want to use the money, great. The question is that, like, if you leave that money to this woman and the controlling or ne'er-do-well husband is going to use it that way, is that actually going to produce blessing for my child?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, that is an unfortunate situation that she's in, but I'm not going to just by expectation direct money to a place of which it's not going to do good or provide blessing. And so I would say that I would probably find alternative means to make sure that my money, if I have any resources or anything that I was going to leave, that it does what I would do or what I would want done with it.
Yeah. You could think of it this way too. Like, let's say that, like, you were faced with the same situation, but like one of your kids had an active drug problem, right? You wouldn't just give them thousands of dollars knowing that they're just going to buy drugs with it because they're actively addicted with drugs. You wouldn't do that because you love them,
yeah.
not because you're mad at them or not because you're disappointed. You still love them for all the right ways, right? Mm. But giving them amount of money, that amount of money is not good for them right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so like this is kind of the same thing, right?
Yep.
Okay, so Secular says, this is something you should discuss with your financial advisor. You do not have to reward her husband. You may be able to set up a trust for your daughter in which she receives a certain amount of money every month until her death. After that, the remainder of your estate might be left to a cause or charity of your choice. Yeah, at the end of the day, this wasn't a logistics problem.
Yeah.
That's not what she was asking. It's a heart problem.
Yeah.
And basically the guy's like, "Man, I don't want to just give my money when I die to my daughter and her husband's just going to take it and never let her use it to do good things. He's going to do whatever he wants with it."
Yeah.
I think that's an okay caution mm-hmm. to have. And like to the next point, you need some community. You need like a local pastor to talk to you, some community of people that love you and care about you that can help you kind of deal with the little decisions that go into the big decision.
Yeah.
Yep.
I would sure like to see him sit down with his daughter and have a conversation and just say, "Hey, here's my concern." And I mean, the dad is approaching this relationship with a skewed, I mean, he's already like, "This is my baby," and this guy's mean. Maybe he's not nearly as mean as he thinks. Maybe he might be.
Yeah.
It has been 20 years, though. They've been married a long time.
I mean, that's a long time. That's what I was thinking. It's like, that's 20 years.
Maybe your daughter's terrible with money, and he's controlling because she's just real bad at it.
Yeah, and maybe she really, if she just likes being controlled.
Yeah.
Some people don't know what to do with themselves.
Right, which reinforces the next point that, like, we got a picture of the situation that, like, no one says, "Oh, by the way, I'm dominating, and when you hear my husband being rude, it's because, frankly, I caused all kinds of troubles, and then I complained about it to you." And you don't know that until you can see the whole...
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If we jump in the car, and I tell my wife, "Hey, we're going to go to McDonald's for supper."
Yeah.
And she's like... And her dad's in the back seat. He'd be like, "Man, that guy's kind of demanding."
Yeah.
"Well, he doesn't know I've had 40,000 conversations of, what do you want to have for supper?" "Well, I don't care." You know, it's like, and until I finally say, "Okay, we're going to McDonald's."
Yeah. You know, or wherever, Dan speaks to the common man. "We've all been there, friend."
I was going to say a little hooty-tooty your place. I thought, let's just keep it McDonald's. I'm just saying, he doesn't know the full story, but maybe a conversation of saying, "This is where I'm concerned. Can we talk this out? Like I don't want to ruin you guys, and I don't want to just give it to my daughter, and then that causes strain on a relationship, and just see where that goes."
You know, the thing is like, this is a young man's mistake that I made multiple times, where people would tell me a story, and I would get all fired up about it and go to talk to a guy, and then I listened to his side of the story, and I couldn't have had more air come out of my balloon.
Yeah.
I know better than to listen to people when they tell me this sob story, you know? And so, like, I do that much less than I did when I was younger. But, man, people used to just get me, just wind me up like a toy.
Yeah.
And I'd go charging in there, and I'd be like, "I'll tell you what's right." They'll be like, "Did they tell you this, this, and this?" You're like, "Oh, no. No, they left all that stuff out."
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. You know what? It's difficult. I think the more times you interact with people and the older you get, you start to recognize is that, like, your motivations are right. You're like, "I care about people and I'm against injustice."
Mm-hmm.
And I do think the truth can set people free. And so let's just see if we can't square this away. And then you walk into there and you realize you're rarely dealing with a real black and white situation. It is just a pool full of gray stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you've heard this encouragement from me multiple times on the show, even on the real hot button stuff. I'm just telling you that whatever you believe, except for Jesus, and even in the stream of religion, like, people are just gray. They're just weird. And they hold two views at the same time that you're like, how could someone possibly believe those two things together? But they do. And which makes them more complicated. And it means whatever you think about them is probably too basic. And people's personal lives are always weird, and their emotions are ganked up, and their relationships and backgrounds, like, just there's all kinds of things that go into it. And so just be patient, slow down a little. I mean, certainly interact with injustice when you see it, but like, just know that there tends to be, things are just a little bit grayish in the world.
Mm.
All right. You're listening to Live from the Path. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. I really do appreciate it. Boy, what a fun show. Vanek, thanks so much for giving us your time and your story, dude. We loved it. I very much appreciate it. And remember, you hit us up on the Live from the Path of Vanek line, 515-517-0085. Call or text if you want to find a way to connect with him for whatever reason, whatever. Well, you just want to talk to him. You just want to say hello. You want to get hairstyling tips. You're trying to run farther. Like, whatever. He'll talk to you. Also, Cody, what a cool story. Thanks so much for coming in.
Absolutely.
Thank your wife for being out of town, which freed up this situation.
Yeah. Yeah, anytime you guys need ratings to go down. Hold on.
You left that part out. You made it sound like
a little bit of half of the information. Told you what you needed to know.
I got wound up like a toy again. I'm like, I had a certain nice of Cody to come in. Turns out you got nothing burning.
No, nothing going on tonight.
He was bored. He thought there might be pizza rolls.
Something like that. Actually, the real story was I wanted to stop and get Chipotle on the way.
Yeah. Any excuse to get out. All right, man. Hey, we appreciate you hanging out with us on the show. Hit us up with some feedback. I think I'm out next week. We'll see what the other weeks follow. In the meantime, be faithful in the means. God will hand to the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path. You build your ivory towers, sit on gilded thrones, but the Lord sees all, even hearts of stone. Woe to those at ease who sing idle songs. Your palace is crumbled, you've been wicked too long. The lion don't whisper, it tears through the air. The Lord won't relent till justice is fair.